Could I start with our relationship with Rowan Williams? We are within the Anglican Communion. We are saying to ourselves that we have recaptured our passion and emphasize our emphasis on mission. Rowan Williams still remains the Archbishop of Canterbury. There are difficulties that we have gone into over the times ever since we started. And therefore, we have a great problem. The problem being that what we expected the Archbishop of Canterbury to do has so far not been done. And so are we still waiting or are we moving on? I think what we are really asking ourselves is we are continuing as Anglicans, passionate for mission, believing in the Word of God and following the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Rowan Williams still remains the Archbishop of Canterbury. So I would not want to say that we are overthrowing Rowan today. No, we are not. I think our emphasis is more to do with the fact that we have recaptured our mission.
And the first question. Sorry, just about the how the declaration might be used as you see it.
Who by?
That's my question, really.
Well, actually, we have delegates have understood the declaration. You saw the standing ovation when it was finished, meaning they understand exactly why they came here, they know why they're here, and they are passing it over to the rest of the communion to know that as Orthodox Christians, we are going back to the roots, we are standing where we were before, and therefore inviting everybody to go back to where we are, to go back to the scriptures, to go back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I think the delegates understand, and many people who will read it will also understand.
Travis
Kavula of National Review in the United States. You say in point 11 of the Jerusalem Declaration that we recognize the orders and jurisdiction of those Anglicans who uphold Orthodox faith and practice, and we encourage them to join us in this declaration. Does that imply that you'll be drawing up a list eventually of those Anglican leaders you recognize to be heterodox? And if one of those leaders includes, as we assume it may, I think, the U.S. presiding bishop, does that automatically mean those bishops serving under her will also fall under that rubric? For anyone in particular, would like to take a great stab at it, please.
Well, whoever have the same understanding as the declaration says is most welcome, or she.
But will there specifically be a list of people who are quote-unquote false leaders in the church? Do you plan to draw?
No, I think as the declaration says. So it's inclusive and exclusive.
It's self-explanatory, actually. Because the declaration is very clear as to where we stand, and you are either saying yes to it or you are not saying yes to it. So you are either in by your own choice or you are out by your own choice.
George? George Conger, Church of England newspaper, for Archbishop Jensen. For the Anglican Church in Australia outside of Sydney, how should they understand and read this document? What does it mean for them?
Thank you. Bearing in mind that there are various, the Australian church varies, it's not uniform, but outside of Sydney, I'm hoping they'll be very, very pleased with the document. What I understand the document to be is bringing some degree of, it's a very Anglican document, it's bringing Anglican order to a situation of turmoil. It seems that the instruments of unity have not really been able to bring order, and this is a fresh attempt to order our life together in the new circumstances which have developed since 2003. I'm hoping that my colleagues in Australia, where we don't have these problems, will applaud this and regard it as being a very useful thing indeed. My guess is that for the first, their first reaction to it will not be as happy. They'll probably need it to be explained to them. But because it looks rather strange or rather adventurous. But I'm hoping they do see it as an instrument of bringing order to a situation which is in turmoil.
David Virtue?
Virtue online. Anyone of you would be fine, Mr. Morali, perhaps.
there is a sense about the document that has a certain inevitability about it, that the train has left the station and it's on its way somewhere. And it doesn't look like it's going to end up in Canterbury. If the train should in fact not end up with the Archbishop of Canterbury, does this foretaste the possibility of a final break with the Anglican Communion if there is no repentance?
David, the train left the stations long time ago. And it is heading to heaven. And the one in charge is Jesus Christ. And I believe that his church, the head of the church, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are only servants under his lordship. I believe the document is calling to primary going back to our roots, and where we need to repent, we must repent. Where we have fallen short, we need to come back. And therefore, it's for all. And as far as we are concerned, I think we are saying to ourselves, as Anglicans, that is where we belong. And we will go, because Jesus is Lord.